I'm pulling my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for their drive to work. Okay, so this podcast, kind of inspired by a series I did for my article for Making Magic. I want to talk today about the history of tuple themes. So what do I mean by that? So tuple is what R&D uses to refer to cards that care usually about creature types. So I want to sort of talk about the evolution of it. It is a very popular theme, but believe it or not, it took R&D a little while to warm up to the theme. So first and foremost, Richard Garfield makes Alpha, the very first Magic set comes out. There were tuple themes in Alpha, two different flavor of tuple themes. The first, which would really be the precursor to a lot of what we're talking about today, is three what we call lords. That is creatures that enhance creatures of a certain type. Lord of Atlantis enhanced merfolk, Goblin King enhanced goblins, and Zombie Master enhanced zombies. Those were the first three. Now, I should note that in Alpha, there was one merfolk, one zombie, and two goblins. Some cards later got eroded to be things. So there are Scavenging Ghoul later became a zombie, but it wasn't when it got printed. And the lords originally themselves were not the creature type, per se, although Goblin King said Goblin King on it, I guess. But the idea is, in early Magic, there was no the deck construction rules were play whatever you want. So if you wanted to play a Merfolk deck, that meant you played some number of Lord of Atlantises and some number of Merfolk of the Pearl Trident. That was now, you know, over time we eventually made more of them, although like the second Merfolk after Merfolk of the Pearl Trident wasn't until the Dark. I think the Drowned, I think, was the next one. And so it took a little bit of while before a lot of the creature types, like, it took a little bit of time. Richard, I think, in Alpha really wanted a variety, and so there wasn't any one dedicated creature type. There were just a lot of variety of different creature types, just to show. But Richard understood very early on that, like, hey, it might be fun to care about a certain creature type. That is a linear theme that people could care about. Also in Alpha, by the way, to speak technical, there was a lot of interact with wall stuff. There are three cards that directly called out walls. There's a bunch more cards that called out non-wall. And so, you know, there definitely was... Early on, Richard realized that the creature type mechanically could matter, and there's, you know, and people might care about it. Now, for early Magic, there wasn't a lot. I mean, I think... So I, once again, I got to Wizards in 95. So when I got there, so we're talking early Magic, the way that R&D thought of creature types early on was, oh, it's a fun thing casual players enjoy, and yeah, we should make, you know, we figured out what creature types people tended to like, and we should make more of those, and, you know, people, you know, casual players seem to like the type of cards, we should make some from time to time. But if you look at early Magic, there's just a dabbling. There's just a little bit of a, you know, and a lot of the type of themes more were top-down. Like, oh, I'm going to make a creature that has a falcon. So, okay, it boosts falcons, which at the time, we later changed falcons to birds. But, you know, the idea is a lot of the early type was more about, oh, well, this is a flavorful way to capture this idea. Even, I think, in Alpha, I think Richard was like, oh... Hey, I like the idea of having a Goblin King. Well, what would a Goblin King do? Well, he helps goblins, you know. So, really early Magic, the type of themes were more incidental. And it wasn't thought of as anything serious. It was really thought of something very fluffy. And the other thing to remember about early Magic. So, when I get to Magic in 95. And in 96, early 96, we start the Pro Tour. And then from the Pro Tour, we start doing more organized play, we start having in-store play, and, you know, a lot of the early infrastructure of Magic is built around a lot more competitive play. That was really the focal point in the early days of Magic. Oh, the way we get more people to play is make more sanctioned play, but sanctioned play should have rules, and then we have a Pro Tour to aspire to, and eventually we did Grand Prix, and, like, we made this whole structure that sort of was very competitive in nature. It is not in for a while. Like, the casual player is something, I mean, real behind-the-scenes thing is, one of the things that was driving us is the data we had was the things we could record. And the things we could record was, as we did sanctioned play, we could record who was playing in sanctioned play. The casual players, what we referred to as the invisibles at the time, we didn't have a lot of data to see them. So I think it was like we knew they existed, but we had no sense of numbers. So we will get there. Okay, so early Magic dabbles, you know, there's a little bit here and there. Fallen Empires is the first set that sort of has even what you might call a light typal theme. The flavor of Fallen Empires is we're in Sarpedia, it's in Dominaria, and there are five conflicts, each conflict's within a color. So each color, like in green, the elves are growing food, and so they're making saplings, but then the saplings have their own sentence, and then it's the elves versus the saplings. And so you have in each color, there's this conflict inherent. And so, and then it meant basically that we had themes that played up in each of the two colors. Each color had two themes built into it. And some of those themes were a little bit typal, like clearly, like my favorite, the saplings was my favorite deck in Fallen Empires, and there was a card called Fungal Bloom that allowed you to put extra counters onto funguses, because the way saplings worked is funguses got counters on them, and every turn they got a counter, but when you remove three counters, you made a sapling token. So they slowly, over time, built up a little sapling army. But Fungal Bloom sped up how often you got counters, and so, like, it's a good example where we started finding different ways to use typal themes that, early typal themes were a lot more like everything of this, get +1/+1. And we start realizing that you can start adapting your typal themes to the archetype or whatever that creature is doing, you can sort of push toward that and mechanically make it matter. So Fallen Empires was a set. Fallen Empires was not remotely what I would call a typal set, but it did have light typal themes. And the connective tissue, the thing that Fallen Empires really did, is said, hey, we're going to make a lot of the same creature type. A lot. You know, enough that you could probably build a deck out of this set, out of that creature type. And that is something, once the four of rules existed, obviously in Alpha you can, you know, play how many Merfolk Pearl Trident you wanted, but once the rules started existing, the four of, it became a lot harder to play typal themes. Because we weren't going out of our way to make sure the typal cards were necessarily the strongest, and you just needed the volume you needed to make it work. In general, the typal strategies were just a little on the weaker side. Which brings us to Onslaught. So Onslaught, I did a whole podcast on Onslaught. The real short version of Onslaught is the set gets turned in from design. Bill Rose is the head designer. He's not real happy with it. He feels like it's missing. It's just... it had two mechanics that were handed in with it. This is back in the day where sets had two main mechanics. He wasn't happy with either of the two mechanics, so he asked me to sort of do a pass on it. So one of the things that was in the design was the misformed creatures were in the design. So the misformed creatures were creatures that had the ability to change their own creature type. The thing, though, was other than a few high rarity cards, the set didn't really care about creature type. But I thought the misform were cool. So one of the things that I've been noticing is that their typal themes were very popular, but they were horrible. Which as a designer, you know, rings a bell in my head. Like, people keep playing this and it's horrible. Like, there's something about it, right? There's something, I mean, Poison was similar, where people kept playing Poison decks and the early Poison cards were bad. And part of me said, okay, well, that's a really telling sign. If something's powerful and a lot of people play it, well, maybe they're playing it because it's powerful. When a lot of people play something and it's not powerful, like, okay, people must like this because it's not because it's powerful. So I went to Bill and I said, here's what I would like to do. At the time, when Bill took over as head designer, the one of the big innovations of Bill's sort of reign is Block started having themes. So Invasion was the first set that Bill oversaw. Invasion had a multicolor theme. And then the next set after that was Odyssey. It had a graveyard theme. So I go to Bill and I said, okay, what if we had a typal theme? What if the main mechanical through line of this block is creature types, is typal themes. And Bill was a little hesitant at first, because he's like, you know, we were very tournament focused, and at the time, like, playing typal decks was considered to be, like, not serious. Like, you're not, you know, like, and so his worry was that the competitive players just wouldn't like the theme. And so what I said is, I go, Bill, look, the data says that they're popular. People like playing typal themes. The constructed players, my pitch was, look, they're going to play whatever's strong. The reason they don't play typal themes is not because they inherently don't like typal themes, is because, you know, they play what wins, and they don't win right now. But I said, imagine if we made a set where it was the right strategy. Let's take a theme that we know is popular and casual. What if we introduced it to competitive players? And my pitch was, I think they'd like it. I mean, two things. One, the competitive players will, in some level, go in the direction of where the strong cards are. But the other thing is, I didn't think typal themes, like, casuals liking it didn't mean it was just a casual thing. It just meant it was a theme that wasn't supported, so the only people that played it was casual. So I pitched to be like, look, I really think that this is a theme that everybody can get behind. I think it's a popular theme. And so anyway, so we Bill gives the okay. I redo the set a lot and add in all these typal themes. The other thing, by the way, that ended up being a little me causing my own problems is in Odyssey, one of the things in general was I was a big believer in creature types. So actually, let's roll back the clock a little bit. In Odyssey, what happened in Odyssey was we had a creative team, and right before Odyssey, they like little by little they were leaving, and the last one left right before Odyssey. And so Bill came to me and said, look, I don't have anybody new names and flavor text for Odyssey. I'm going to go hire a new team, but could you, because I had done Unglued, I think, so like I had actually done Creative, plus, I mean, Bill knew I was a writer. Like, he said, could you just do names and flavor text? And part of doing names and flavor text is doing creature types. And so one of my things ever since I got to Wizards is I was a huge fan of typal themes in general. I was a big champion of typal themes. And so a lot of what I did was I tried to find opportunities where we could push typal themes. So, for example, when I first got to Wizards, artifact creatures just didn't have a creature type. And I was a big person saying, hey, shouldn't every creature have a creature type? And I convinced the rest of our team, like, okay, yeah, artifact creatures have a creature type. And then when I was doing Invasion, I convinced Bill to do these hybrid's the wrong word because hybrid's a mechanic. These creatures that were a combination of two different creature types. There was a multicolor cycle. Like, it's a goblin and an elf. Ooh, you know. And then when I did Odyssey, because I was in charge of the creature types, I started making, for example, Avens premiered for the first time. There are bird people. But I didn't just make them bird. I made them bird soldier or bird wizard. And then there were the Nantuko. And the Nantuko were like insect people. But instead of just being insects, they were insect druids. And so I was trying to find opportunities where I could get multiple creature types on the line. And as part of my experiment in Odyssey, I decided it might be fun to like just push some creature types that had less exposure. So instead of doing goblin and merfolk and elf, I pushed other things. I did dwarf for red. I think I did squirrels and green, along with like the Nantuko and the Avid. And then anyway, I was just doing different creatures. So we got to Onslaught, and all of a sudden we needed to care about if we're going to do a typal theme, we want to hit our major, like the most popular types. So we had to go and do. So all of a sudden, like the previous set had no goblins in it, and now we had to care about goblins, which wasn't ideal. But it was an important lesson as we started getting into type that one of the things about typal is it's a larger ecosystem you got to think about. That you really want to make sure that, hey, if I'm going to make about goblins, you want to make sure the previous set might have some goblins in it. And so that introduced to that. So anyway, the story, by the way, is so I put a bunch of things into Onslaught. I put the typal theme, I put morph, and I put the returning of cycling. And going into the pre-release, R&D was really excited by Morph. And the conventional wisdom from R&D was that the takeaway at the pre-release could be like, Morph's an amazing mechanic. And they came back from the pre-release, and the takeaway was, everybody loves Typal. That was the takeaway from the pre-release. And they were kind of like surprised. I'm like, guys, I've been saying this for months. Like, I've been really pushing that Typal was the hot thing. But it wasn't until they saw the players react to it and they realized how excited people were for Typal that... Onslaught Block puts Typal on the map. It makes us realize that they're a real theme. That, like, that it's not just something that casual players like. It's something that Magic players like. And if we want more competitive players to play it, we just got to make good things. And all of a sudden, you know, we're making decks where there's... Like, one of the things that Onslaught also did is... Previously, when we were making goblins, we just made goblins, right? It's just like, so if you wanted to make a deck full of goblins, well, you played the goblins that existed, but it wasn't that there was necessarily a great goblin synergy going on. But in Onslaught, we're like, well, we're going to build synergies. The goblins are going to do something. The elves are going to do something. And so with it, we start, one of the things you start seeing is we start getting identities to creature types, meaning like, oh, elves kind of like producing mana. Oh, goblins tend to sacrifice themselves. Like, we started... One of the things you start realizing, and Onslaught really helped us cement this, is the idea that, you know, part of making a long-term cohesiveness to creature types is just giving them a general feel. And then, when we do typal themes within a set, especially for limited, really have those all play into the same mechanical purpose. And starting to do typal sets really made us do that. Then the next set is Mirrodin. And Mirrodin was another project that I was involved in. So the creative team and I really wanted to make to mirror something that we had done in Dungeons & Dragons. In Dungeons & Dragons, you have a species and you have a class. You're human or elf or orc, and you're a fighter or a wizard or a cleric. The idea that we pitched... that what if every creature type that's not, you know, a monster or something, but like a more humanoid creature had both a species and had a class. So you could be a goblin, but also be a warrior. You can be an elf, but also be a druid. And once again, my master plan of just trying to get more creature types on lines. The creative team wanted it because it just added more flavor. I wanted it because it gave us more hooks. We could do more things with it. And that is when we invented human, by the way. So human did not exist prior to Mirrodin, but once we needed a species on things, well, what are the humans? So we did human. Interestingly, when we got R&D's sign off on doing humans, the agreement we made at the time was that we wouldn't do any human typal cards. That was agreement at the time. So anyway, typal themes are in our back pocket. We know it's there. So the next time we look to do typal themes is Lorwyn Block. So Lorwyn Morningtide, so at this point, I become head designer, and that one of the things when I became head designer, I was definitely more excited. Like, I'm a huge typal theme fan, so it's definitely something I'm being more conscious of. So we make Lorwyn, I'm like, let's do it. And so Lorwyn is really like the typal theme pushed to 11. It was really us, we picked 8 creature types, and almost every card, with a few exceptions, high rarities, is one of these creatures, other than Changeling. I'll get to Changeling in a second. But anyway, we really push aggressively. And then we need what we call typal glue. I come up with a mechanic of Changeling based on Mistform Ultimus, a card I made back in Onslaught, or in Legion, technically. And, you know, Changelings could be any creature type, so it was a new tool to play with creature types. I had this clever idea that in Lorwyn, we would do the species. And then in Morningtide, we would do the classes. And it got complex. So complex, in fact, that us, Matt Place and I, watching some of the non-R&D employees at the employee pre-release of Morningtide, got us to come up with the idea of New World Order, that there was too much complication at Common. And so it really showed us, like, we over... On some level, we over-indexed. Lorwyn was us... Like, on some level, when you're trying to understand where things are, it going under can teach you something, and going over can teach you something. We went over. The problem with Laura went is what we call a siloing problem, where once you draft early, once you say, oh, I'm in goblins, it just dictates, like, goblins are in these colors, you know, and I'm just going to take goblins. And, like, I really will pick a card that's not a goblin. I mean, there's a few cards that are so good, maybe I pick them. But mostly I'm like, oh, I'm in goblins, I should take goblins. Well, goblins are in these colors, and, you know, it really dictates where you're at. And it dictates your draft. And so we were we over-indexed on it. But I still recognize it as being a fun theme. So the next time that we really did a larger type of theme was Innistrad. So when we were doing our brainstorming for Innistrad, we're like, okay, we're doing a horror genre set. What do you expect to be in it? Monsters was super high. And not just any monsters. There was a group. So the three we knew we wanted to do were vampires, werewolves, and zombies. And we're like, okay, like those are like iconic like monster movie monsters. And we knew we'd have some other monsters, but like those were the main ones. And when we were mapping them out, I realized that they actually map pretty neatly to ally color pairs. That, you know, vampires... Well, first we had zombies. Zombies made... There were two types of zombies. There's necromantic zombies, where you raise them with magic, and there's, like, scientific zombies, where you... Like Frankenstein, you build them in a lab. So we made the first black and the second blue. So zombies were black and blue. And then we realized that vampires, if we lean a little bit into the ferociousness of it, that we can make them black-red. And then we realized that werewolves could be red-green. And then also I realized that we wanted humans because all the monsters in Innistrad come from humans, and you need victims, obviously. So humans were green-white. And I'm like, oh, we just need one more monster. It's white-blue. And we realized that spirits, ghosts, could be that. So we ended up having five creature types that were very central, that were like ally-connected. But one of the things that I chose to do was I said, okay, instead of leaning into typo really heavily in that this card says zombies, so play lots of zombies, I said, I really want to build a thematic structure. Like zombies, I'll use zombies as my example. I wanted to capture the zombies of horror movies, right? And zombies in horror movies, any one zombie is really not that scary. That most people can handle a zombie. They're slow, they're dumb, you know, they're not... a zombie in a vacuum, one zombie, is not that much a threat. What makes zombies a threat is not that there's a zombie, is that there's an endless wave of zombies. And I really wanted to capture that endless wave of zombies feel. So I said, okay, what I want to do is not a fast deck, what I want to do is a slow deck, and it just slowly builds up zombies, where at some point, you just overrun them with zombies. That's what zombies are. And so we built the whole black-blue sort of archetype around this slow-controlling strategy and then gave you tools to build up zombies, but slowly build up zombies. So the idea was I wasn't winning fast, but I beat you by attacking with a giant army of zombies. And then for each of the creature types, we figured that out. We gave a more aggressive play to vampires, and in development, Erica ended up giving them a life thing where you want to get your opponent down in life and then they get better. Werewolves, we came up with double-faced cards, and there was a whole like sort of werewolf mechanic where they started as human, but then they all turned into werewolves because it's night. Spirits had a little less flavor early on. We did better later with spirits. And then humans, we had a lot of sort of, they were resourceful. We made a bunch of equipment that were better in humans, and that, you know, by necessity, they were resourceful. But the interesting thing about the set is, I think we had one card in common that mentioned each of the creature types, and they were all, I believe, threshold one, meaning you just needed one to care. And at higher rarity, especially at rare, we made some typo. So if you really wanted to make a zombie deck in constructed, we did make some at higher rarity some more zombie typo cards for you. Like, oh, it doubles it, or it makes half the number of zombies you have. So the more zombies, the bigger. So if you play a bunch of zombies first, you know, it'll be even better. And Innistrad was a really big hit, and it really taught us that, like, the themes are super strong, right? The idea that I want to play a deck full of zombies is very compelling. But it really hammered home that part of making you want to play zombies isn't just there's cards that say, hey, zombies are good. Not that those shouldn't exist. People like those. But that there are, that the zombies themselves have an inherent strategy that make you want to play other zombies. And the idea is, if you do that, you didn't need a lot of sort of actual typo cards to make that, like, you want a little bit. You want a little bit of encouragement to go, hey, maybe you want to play zombies. Maybe that, maybe a few of your cards that aren't zombies, maybe they can be zombies, and to sort of push in that direction. But also, by making the zombies just inherently play well together, you start doing that. So what happened is we do that in Innistrad, and we really, Innistrad was really instructive in that it showed us that typal themes were very connective, but we didn't have to be quite so heavy-handed. And then what sort of started happening was, like, Concept Arc here, we were trying to find a way to connect white and black. And we realized that, oh, well, a lot of the white and black creatures happen to be warriors. Well, what if the way we did connective tissue for Limited was we just cared about warriors? It just gave you a thematic theme, and it connected something that was naturally already there. And it proved really popular. And so we started saying, oh, okay, you know, like, typo is not just an overall thing. You know, I mean, one of the big shifts in Magic that Innistrad was a big part of is, you know, one of the reigns of sort of Bill as, you know, the evolutions of Bill was, you know, blocks before Bill had no theme. And then Bill introduced a theme. When I came and designed, I sort of built on that. I mean, a lot of technology is just, you know, standing on the shoulders of giants, you know. I said, okay, now that we've explored, you know, sets as mono-themed, you know, one of the cool things is let's pick themes that we can then use our mechanics as paint. Like, Innistrad wasn't just, yeah, it had a horror theme. It was, the thematic thing was a flavor theme, but then we could have some graveyard component, and we could have some typo component, and we could start taking different aspects, and instead of having set be, oh, it's all graveyard, the graveyard is a component of it. Typo's a component of it. And that's a lot of the lessons there. And then, you know, as we start building things like Zincons, we start realizing typo is glue that can be used to connect smaller things like draft archetypes. Then we get to Ixalan. Ixalan, the quick version of Ixalan is, it really wasn't going to be a typo set. It was going to make use, Richard Garfield made a mechanic called the Edge in Vampire the Eternal Struggle. I was very inspired to make a mechanic around that. And that's what we were originally going to do. But then Sean Main ended up making a mechanic called the Crown, the Monarch, in Conspiracy 2. And Conspiracy Take the Crown. And it was too close, so we left it there. And so I had to come up with a new theme. And I was looking at what we were doing, and I originally, when it was pitched by Creative, there were two factions, then I asked for three factions, so they made a faction of pirates, and then I realized that the natives of the world had dinosaurs. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of fun here, that if we could care about pirates and dinosaurs, oh, and the conquistadors of the world were vampires. And so we're like, okay, we have vampires, we have pirates, we have dinosaurs. I go, look, let's get one more, and then I took a structure that I actually built for cons, because originally it had four factions, and I put that in. But anyway, one of the things we did in Ixalan is we were trying hard to do something a little different with typo, but the creative really didn't want to, like, they didn't want changelings, they didn't want multiple creature types on the same card. So Ixalan, we ended up kind of not putting in the typo glue, and that went badly. It really sort of showed me the, like, now, we did have, the one thing that Ixalan did have is it did have typal themes. And in general, especially in Constructed, people enjoyed that. Dinosaurs were very popular. Pirates were popular. It wasn't that the set didn't have popularity. I mean, it was a little oversimplified. Anyway, we had some issues with it. But the mechanics really, we didn't, it's one of the sets where, like, the creative was amazing and we didn't quite live it up into mechanics. But interestingly, when we would go back to Ixalan, we realized that having a typo be a component of the world was cool. Like, in Caverns of Ixalan, there was dragon typo. In fact, there was a little bit of typo of everything, and there was dragon typo was built in as a draft archetype, I think, in red-green. So one of the things that goes on is we try to do a larger typo theme. We have some issues with it. And one of the things we realized is typal themes are this weird thing where players really like them. They are hard to make, especially in Limited. They're very hard to make. Which brings us to Bloomburrow. So my last one to talk about is Bloomburrow. So Bloomburrow actually very much tried. We had a typal theme in Bloomburrow. It was called Fellowship in design. And the idea was you would add creatures to your fellowship, and then the cards just cared about your fellowship. So it'd be like, it'd be something like Otter Fellowship. Add otters to your fellowship, and then all creatures in your fellowship get +1/+1 or whatever. And the idea was you would slowly build your typal theme over time. It ended up being a cool theme that played well once you understood it, but it was complex, and it ended up being a bit too much. They ended up taking it out. And one of the things they realized was, and this is kind of where we're standing with typal themes right now, is that it's hard in a whole set to care about typal mechanically. It just causes too much interconnective issues. So what Bloomburrow did is kind of the lesson we're talking about before is it followed kind of the Innistrad model where, look, mostly the reason you want to play frogs is frogs will do the same thing. Squirrels do the same thing. That if you play the creatures together, there's just a built-in synergy to them. And we can just put a light amount of typal, usually not very low, because we don't want, we want it very light for Limited. In Constructed, we put the cards that care about higher rarity, so if you want to build Constructed, you can. But that kind of is the model for typal, which is allow the themes to exist, make Limited more about, well, these creatures happen to play well together, so you'll think of it as a frog deck, but actual frog typalness in Limited is light. There's a little bit. There's enough there that you can feel it, but not so much that it gets heavy-handed, not so much that you get siloing. But anyway, I think what we've learned over things is the typal theme is very popular. People really like the typal themes. It is something we should do on a regular basis. Almost every set nowadays has a little bit of typal in it. It's very common, one of our archetypes, not always, but often one of our archetypes has a typal component. It's a nice, easy way to, it's a nice, clean way to connect things in a way that it, mechanically it's easy for us to do. And we do like larger typal themes, but like as Bloomburrow shows, we're trying to find more ways to lean into it in a way that's not just cards loudly screaming at you, play this, play this, play this. Because that especially Unlimited, gets us into trouble. Anyway, that, my friends, is the history of typal themes. I hope you enjoyed it, but I'm now at work, so I don't know what that means. It means the end of my... what does it mean? It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.